It's Jim. It's the World of Bonds. It's Monday, the 25th of March, 2024. This is for professional investors only and never ever investment advice. This is also the final week of Uncle Jim's World of Bonds Season 12 as we approach its traditional Easter break. It's also a week where we have a load of recent anniversaries that need to be noted, not least the fourth anniversary of Uncle Jim's World of Bonds, which of course also means that it's the fourth anniversary of the COVID lockdown in the UK. I think it was announced on the 23rd of March and came into effect on the 26th or something like that. So 4 years on, quick look back at what the 10-year US Treasury bond yield was at the time. It was at 0.85% and it hit its all-time low, I guess, of 0.5% in early April, less than a couple of weeks later, really. Even though global developed market economies didn't really lock down until March, bond yields had more than halved from 2% in the first quarter of 2020, really starting very early in the year. So bond markets were very much ahead of the newspapers. Remember, it's really not until February half term that it hit the public consciousness with people coming back from, I don't know, Ishgal in Austria and Italy with nasty coughs. So bond markets were ahead of the move at the time, but it wasn't just COVID fears, remember, that were driving bond yields lower. There was also fears about generalised economic weakness. It's also the third anniversary of the Ever Given cargo ship getting stuck sideways in the Suez Canal, which the Suez Canal obviously carries 12% of global trade, which is why we're worried about it again at the moment, given what's going on with the Houthis and disturbances to shipping lanes once more. But that caused supply disruptions, didn't get hold of that PlayStation 5 for ages, into lockdown for the kids, and it caused an inflationary boost in an already disrupted world supply chain. 1 year ago anniversary, of course, is Credit Suisse going bust. Credit Suisse was acquired about a year ago by UBS for 3 billion Swiss francs. So Credit Suisse has been founded in 1856 and one of the world's 30 systemically important banks, undone by a series of scandals and losses in investments, including Archegos and Greensill Capital. Remember the big excitement for bond investors, not just what that might mean systemically for the global economy, but was the wiping out of Credit Suisse AT1 bonds ahead of what people had assumed would be the capital queue of losses to be suffered, so ahead of some of the equity investors, and that caused a minor earthquake in credit markets at the time. Remember, this was quite a Swiss regulator specific piece of language, but it was language that bond investors, if they'd taken the time, should have known about, and so didn't have very much cause for complaint when things happened in accordance with the documentation. Anyway, Credit Suisse's collapse was shortly followed by a US banking crisis. Remember Silicon Valley Bank, First Republic, and remember just how big those banks were in terms of their balance sheets. They were the second and third biggest US bank failures in history. And yet despite all of that bad credit news a year ago, a year on, and if you look at credit spreads at the moment, we are in the bottom 5% of tightest spread observations in US credit history ever, i.e. when I say the bottom 5%, the most expensive 5% of credit spreads that we have seen. Nothing to see here. One final anniversary. It's 40 years since the kids in the Breakfast Club film had to go into Saturday detention at Shermer High School. Molly Ringwald, Ali Sheery, and who was it? Emilio Estevez? Something like that. Ali Sheely was the goth, I think. I watched it again recently and it's not great. I really wouldn't recommend it. It hasn't aged at all well. In particular, the tough kid, what the hell is he wearing? When did hard lads ever dress like a cross between Michael Jackson and Bruce Springsteen? He even wears a kind of black leather fingerless glove to indicate that he's one of the tough guys. Let me tell you, in my school in 1984, he wouldn't have made it past first break if he'd come in wearing that, let alone made it to Saturday detention. So what was the market fallout from last week's FOMC meeting 4 years on from COVID. Well, they kept in three cuts for 2024, as we've discussed in a previous podcast last week, and short-dated treasuries had a better week, so their yields were down probably by about 10% over the course of the week in response to the Fed at least keeping those cuts in. There had been some speculation, perhaps, that they would roll back from one of them. But the US dollar is stronger on the week, perhaps partly driven by weakness elsewhere, particularly in Asian FX. So maybe it's the weakness in Asian FX doing some of the strengthening for the dollar, with the yen and the renminbi weaker over the course of last week. Barclays have put out a big buy tips piece this morning. Tips are the Treasury inflation protected securities, the equivalent of UK index linked or Bund Eyes or whatever it may be, bonds whose coupons and final principal payments have some link to inflation. So, you know, hopefully giving you a real return over the course of holding them. So their big buy tips piece is based on the fact that they think that the Federal Reserve has eased its reaction function to inflation. So when we look at what came out of the FOMC meeting, the economic projections for 2024 put in a really big rise in GDP expectations. So growth expected to be 2.1% over the course of the year, compared to 1.4% in the previous economic projection. And they also nudged higher their core PCE forecast up from 2.4% to 2.6%. Now, Barclays say that if you were running a Taylor rule, and again, listen to the podcast from last week for more on Taylor rules and other monetary policy rules like that. If you were to run a Taylor rule on that increase in growth relative to potential growth and what's going on with inflation there, that suggests that the Fed should have therefore removed at least one of their cuts from this year, but they didn't do that, obviously. And Barclays says that this easing of the reaction function is supportive of the move into risk assets that we're seeing at the moment. I think there'll be more of that flows into credit and equity. If the Fed is not going to be hiking in response to strong growth, then it's those kind of realer assets that will do well. So Barclays says you buy 30-year tips, partly because the shorter end has already moved somewhat and there's some supply at 10 years, but buy 30-year tips in reflection of this change in the Federal Reserve's reaction function. Finally for today, Japan wants more. We have now seen some verbal intervention. So verbal intervention, obviously not quite as strong as actually going out there and buying some Japanese yens, but Japan's top currency officer, official, his name is, I can't find it at the moment, his surname is Kanda anyway, but he said that the yen moves are not in line with fundamentals and clearly are driven by speculation. And so there has been a bit of a start of the officials in Japan being nervous, worrying, unhappy with the weakness of yen. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about 155 as the next target for yen weakness. But remember, 150 was supposed to be, inverted commas, the level where we would see actual intervention from the Bank of Japan, and if that's the case, it hasn't been powerful enough to prevent it going through. That's it for today. Have good weeks. Bye.